I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He knew what was good for his sport. He knew that the Rangers being relevant was very important. They weren't there yet. They needed a gift. They got it. He stuck the magnet in the ping pong ball, and boom, the Rangers get the number one overall pick. So I was very, very happy to see that. Congratulations, Boomer, even though it's not legitimate. Congratulations for getting the number one overall pick. It's a very, very exciting day for Ranger fans.
Yeah, rigged my ass. All I can tell you is that it was a great day for the Rangers. It was a great day for me. I got my power back on last night, finally, a week into this whole damn thing. And then I was thinking yesterday as I was getting ready to watch the ping pong balls, and I'm looking. And I had already pre-written my tweet that Winnie and Lafreniere make 2020 a much better much better year, something along those lines. But anyway, I am so totally stoked this morning because stuff like this does not happen often for the Rangers. Now it happened last year, and it happened this year. And Jeff Gorton was there, and he had Stephen McDonald's badge next to him. And I swear to God, Stephen McDonald's looking down on the Rangers, and it's one of the reasons why we got the number two overall pick last year and the number one overall pick this year. And when you look at this kid and you look all at his highlights, you look at everything about him, the way he carries himself, the kind of the understated demeanor that most hockey players do have. They're not boastful. This kid's got everything. So all I can tell you is that I'm not saying we're going to the Stanley Cup next year. He's got to learn the NHL game like most young kids do. But there is no doubting his ability, his skating ability, his hands, his hockey IQ, and everything else. And the fact that the ping pong ball came to the top after the guy from Ernst & Young actually dropped the ball into the cylinder before the Rangers were totally explained.
Yeah, it was very shady, the whole thing.
Well, you can say whatever you want.
Even Tony D'Angelo said himself that he thought things were a little bit shady.
Yeah, because he thought he was going against the Rangers. That's what he thought.
But the point was that even people who were in the mix and had teams that were involved were looking at this going, this is a little bit odd.
You know, I don't care about the other teams. I only care about my team, and we got the number one pick. Hey, that's all I care about.
Let me tell you something. Of course, I'm being facetious about it, but let's just say that I found out that the Knicks lottery was rigged for Ewing, or somehow they got Zion. Well, yeah, I mean, we believe that it was. And then also, let's say it happened again with Zion Williamson. I wouldn't care. Like, it wouldn't bother me at all. Like, I'm joking around this morning because why not? But even if I did find out something like that happened and my team benefited from it, I would not care. I would not feel dirty at all. I'd be thrilled as hell, man. Let's go.
You know, in 1985, David Stern was sitting on top of the NBA knowing that he had to build the league on stars. And, you know, in previous drafts with Magic and Isaiah and Larry and the like, you knew that the Knicks needed something. And, you know, of course, Michael Jordan, but the Knicks needed something. And that's one of the reasons why we all believe that that whole thing was rigged, because David Stern was brilliant and a mastermind when it came to marketing his league. And he knew that he had to have a star in the biggest city of all. And he got us a star. So you had Larry up in Boston, you had Michael in Chicago, you had Magic in L.A. You needed to have somebody in New York. So that's why we all believe that. And Patrick Ewing, obviously, when he was coming out of college, clearing away the number one player. And we as Knicks fans had all just prayed that Dave DeBuscher was somehow going to bring us a stroke of luck. And he did. And there have been all sorts of documentaries done on that draft and everything else. And I do believe that that envelope was cold, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny, too. If you think about how elementary that lottery was as compared to what it is now. Like, they put all the envelopes in this stupid little thing like
yes.
it was some Kiwanis Club raffle, and they go around and around, and a guy reaches in and gets it. The NBA one now is, like, done behind closed doors. There's only X amount of media members that are involved. They go through all sorts of permutations, ping-pong balls all over the place, so there's no way it can be rigged.
Yep.
The NHL one, a little more simpler. I don't think that it's rigged, but it is funny seeing the video with the Ranger ball going in first and then having to come out, and then it goes in again, and like it bounces a little bit more than the others.
It was awesome. It was just every time I kept looking at it, I kept seeing like, I kept seeing like the Toronto Maple Leafs hitting the post, and the ball was not going to come up through there. There was just no way a Maple Leaf ball was coming.
Yeah,
and then neither was a Penguin ball was not coming either. I couldn't have taken it if Pittsburgh or Edmonton or Toronto would have won this thing, given their history and how many different number one draft picks they've had and the players that they've been able to, you know, to pull down. But I don't know. It was just a moment yesterday where, with all the crap that's gone on, from the pandemic to the cancellations to the social distancing to the mask wearing, to not being able to go to restaurants, to not be able to not getting on a plane and going somewhere, to all of that, to the birth of my granddaughter, and now this. There is no way that little Winnie is not going to grow up to be a Ranger fan. That's all I can say. She was excited yesterday. I know she was all pumped.
Oh, sure.
And
sure, she was very aware of the NHL lottery.
Yeah. Oh, it's I'll talk about other things when other people are done doing what they're doing in other cities and the games that they're playing. And once they're done with all of that, then I'll make my my case for, you know, different things to happen, hopefully, for my New York Rangers. But I think, look, we got better. There's no question about it. Now it's just a question of mixing and matching, making the right decisions, giving the right contracts out, and trying to, you know, continue this rebuild and do it the right way, which I feel like we're doing. But unfortunately, because of Shesterkin's injury going into the playoffs, actually, there was a silver lining to all of it. We got knocked out. We were the first team to get knocked out, and now we have the first overall pick. So I'll take it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So right, and I do think that, you know, when you go down for the stripped down rebuild like the Rangers did, and you didn't love it at the time because you are a season ticket holder, and you basically got a letter saying that we're going to stink for a while, and nobody wants to deal with that. I mean, it really can't work out much better than this, right?
Oh,
you go
my
out,
God.
You get. You bring in a free agent who is a Hart Trophy finalist, who is one of the best players in the league. It's not a guy who collected money and put his feet up and is some sort of free agent bust. He's been healthy. He's been great. And then the number two overall pick a year ago, the number one overall pick this year. I mean, it's really been remarkable. I mean, you need some luck when it comes down to it, too. They certainly got some luck. Because it was pretty obvious who they were going to take last year. It's obvious who they're going to take this year. But, I mean, when you want to talk about a perfect, like, when you break it down and you send out that letter, you can only hope it goes as well as this to this point. Now, we could find out that it doesn't years down the road. I mean, people that were tweeting out Dynasty yesterday, I thought were a little over their skis.
That's a little much. Yeah, that's a little much. But when you look at Kako, Kratzoff, Keandre Miller, Nils Lindqvist, I mean, there are so many young prospects, you know, whether or not they all pan out, who knows? Elias Anderson has been an unmitigated disaster to this point. I'm very disappointed in him, but I don't know what to tell you. I was like, I couldn't believe it. You know, and I'm sitting there watching it by myself, and I had nobody to share, you know, the great news with except for myself and a bottle of Villa One, which was great. And that bottle of Villa One just went down ever so smoothly as I was celebrating this ping pong ball yesterday like a lunatic in the middle of, like, you know, the heat and the oppressive humidity that took over yesterday. And then last night, after all of this stuff was over with, the power went back on. And I have to tell you, you know, after my meeting of the minds yesterday at the house, you know, people got things done. I saw people getting things done. You know, I told you I had a broken window in the front yard, right? The fire department broke into the house. They went through the window. Mike the Glazer, boom, done. Fixed the window. That was done in a half an hour.
Oh, the guy who called.
Yes, done
nice.
In a half an hour. And by the way, I paid for it. You know, small business, you want to support your
small
business. That's exactly what I did. had the plumber over. The plumber fixed the problem. No problem. Got that all taken care of. Had my GC over there. Had the alarm guy over there. Had the electrician over there. It was a three-ring circus, but, you know, we got things done. I had to get the Sub-Zero guy over there to look at my Sub-Zero to make sure that was working correctly. I mean, it was just one truck after the next, and we got stuff done yesterday. So I felt very good about everything at around 6 o'clock, and then around 6:20, I felt even better. And then around 9:15 last night, it all came together, and everything's back to normal now.
Wow. So everything. But you still had to come in and do the show from the studio today because you couldn't get the home studio set up. That's the one thing.
Well, I had internet and everything, but I couldn't trust it. I couldn't trust that, you know, something wouldn't happen today where, you know, this morning they could be working again. The lights could have flickered. The internet could have flickered. Who knows? So I just I decided to come in today. I'm happy to be here. I was screaming and yelling at the schmooze last night.
Were you?
Yeah, he started his show on this whole Met debacle last night, and I'm like, "Hey, Steve, stop with the not. I who cares?
You called up. You called the show up.
I did. Yeah.
Oh wow, man! I tell you,
we were talking about the Rangers, and we were talking about the number one over. I said, "Look, I'm sick and tired of the negativity. Okay, Stroman's opting out. I guarantee you, we're going to hear that there's something wrong with Steven Matz's arm." There's something wrong.
Well, let's hope, because him being that bad without being injured is just as alarming as him being injured.
I guarantee you, he's going on the IL. There's something wrong.
It's just one of those games, right? Just you get that, you look at the box score after you shut it off because you were disgusted, and you see Luis Guillorme being in there before the game. You find out about Stroman. I mean, as the Mets, you know, it just. Once they built up a little bit of momentum to maybe start to feel a little more positive, of course you have the day that you have. I mean, you know, the conversation was, look, you know, they win a couple games against the Marlins. They're tied for the final playoff spot. They look a little more inspired. Stroman comes back. Then you're feeling pretty good about the rotation, or better about the rotation than you did. It looked like they dodged another bullet with Jacob deGrom, because you never know when the trainer comes out there. Things are going okay for them. They're trending in the right direction. And yesterday happens. Now, you know, Marcus Stroman's someone I've always liked. I've talked about how I've liked him. He grew up right around here. And I know that when he says that COVID-19, unlike Yoenis Cespedes, is part of his decision, I believe that it's part of his decision. But I also believe that because he accrued his service time to become a free agent, because the Mets aren't very good and the season has been going the way it's been going, that also factors into his decision. And he has this ability to opt out at any point, and he's doing that. Now, for him, he has given up a decent chunk of change. There is no doubt about it. He is making that sacrifice. But he's also thinking on the back end, like, okay, I'm just coming off an injury. This team isn't very good. I could get sick. I know I'm going to be a free agent, so it's not like I have to go back and pitch. And I'm just going to decide to do this instead. So, I mean, does it annoy me a little bit? I got to be honest, it does a little bit. But it's him. It's his life. I do believe him that coronavirus does affect, it is part of his decision, unlike Cespedes, who I don't think it mattered to him at all because he's out at the Cuban dancing all night long a week before, and then he's at the Roosevelt Field Mall 2 days after he opts out. I mean, that's a guy I don't believe is telling the truth. But, I mean, also, he probably sat down and he had these discussions with his family. He's like, listen, why are we going to go out there for it? His team isn't any good. I got this calf injury. What if I go out there, it gets worse? I'm going to give up the money that I have here to hopefully make more in free agency on the back end when the world's a little more normal. So I don't want to be around anymore. So, I mean, but, you know, it's almost like, you know, I would love to see if the Mets had the Yankees record, or the Mets were a team that had super high expectations going into the year to try to chase down a championship. Would he have made the same decision? That's what I'd love to know, and I don't know if we're ever going to know.
Oh, well, you know, I'll tell you one thing. We're never going to see him in a Met uniform again. And, you know, all that yapping he's been doing since he got here turned out to be a big old nothing. So, look, I can't argue with anybody about opting out. You know, it's their right to do it. And if the leagues want to allow it, and in this case, Major League Baseball does allow it, it's his decision. So good for him and good riddance. You did very little for the Mets. You were a ballyhooed, acquisition by Brody Van Wagenen, knowing, because he knew that that Wheeler was going to leave, and he knew that the Mets were not going to pay Wheeler. And so now Wheeler's for the Phillies. One of the trades that you've made turns out to be you got nothing for it. It's another. I think it's another stain on Brody and how he built the team.
I mean, it's tough.
I
know what you're saying. I mean, at the time, though, it made more sense to me. Of course, now the way that it played out and this season being as strange as it is, and players allowing to opt out, him getting hurt. I mean, this is one of those things that a lot of factors worked against Brody.
He was terrible when he got here, man. It was terrible.
I wouldn't say terrible.
He was not. He was not everything that everybody thought he
was. He wasn't very.
Be.
Yeah, he wasn't good, but he was. I mean, he was average. He wasn't terrible. He wasn't like Steven Matz last night. Terrible.
Steven Matz is hurt. There's something wrong with him. We'll hear about an impingement or something or a tire. We'll hear about something today. I'm telling you.
He stinks.
Yeah, well, he better be hurt, because if you're going to pitch like the way he's been pitching this year. There's got to be something wrong. You know, I don't see him, like, at least Paxton, you knew he was coming off of a back injury, and you knew that it was going to take him a while to kind of get his feet underneath him and throw the ball with confidence and all that other stuff. And we saw remnants of that the other night. But Steven Matz has looked horrific the last few times out, and that just tells me that there's something wrong. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's got a calf problem. Maybe he's got a back problem. Maybe he's got a shoulder problem. But, you know, the Marcus Stroman thing – well, it's disappointing because of his personality and all the things that he was talking about, you know, when he came here, and nothing, I mean nothing materialized.
Yeah, he gave you nothing. He gave you nothing. He gave you absolutely nothing.
So it's another, and like I said, Gio, you're right. When the trade was made, it did two things for the Mets, I thought. One, it gave the Mets a shot in the arm that, you know, management wasn't giving up. But in the bigger picture of the realities of baseball and what was happening last year for the Mets, Brody Van Wagenen was trying to protect his staff going into this year, knowing that Wheeler was not going to be here, and this was a good, cheaper alternative because they had one more year of Marcus's contract. But that never worked out, and then Syndergaard getting hurt and Matt's pitching like this. This is not the team that we saw last year from a pitching standpoint.
Right, and I also think that's why these trades, and it's a cumulative effect now with Brody Van Wagenen, and he's lost the benefit of the doubt with some of these deals that he's made, but this one doesn't fall completely in his lap because, I mean, the whole pandemic happened, the 60-game season happened. You know, the thing that I don't like, though, I feel like there's other factors that are involved, and if you're going to do something like this, you know, people always put, well, it's all about the family, and I've got someone with a compromised immune system, I got this, I got that. You know, knowing Marcus Stroman and how competitive he is, and I will give him some credit for that because he's like just, you know, crazed chip on his shoulder, wants to go out there, prove everybody wrong. That's the type of guy that he is. If he came back, didn't hurt his calf, was pitching his ass off, and was great going into a contract year, and the Mets were actually a factor, would coronavirus at that point be so dominant in his brain that we'd have to opt? That's the thing I'm saying. So it's like, come on. You know, I get it, and I understand that there's other teams out there that haven't done well, and you don't want to think about getting sick, and that's part of the conversation, but let's get real. I mean, you're heading into a contract year. I mean, if you were 3-0 right now with a 1.18 ERA, you're not opting out. I'm sorry, you're not. You're thinking big dollars. This team's going somewhere. You know, I run my mouth all the time. People want to challenge me, and now I'm proving them wrong again. I mean, so, like, it's just, it's everything that goes into it. And it's another reason why you feel like the Mets at times, like, you know, he didn't want to be here. It's another guy who didn't want to be a part of it, you know? And where does that fall? I mean, it falls mostly on the individual, but there's also some places that, like, create a better atmosphere for players to want to be in. Like, I don't know, like, it just seems real easy to turn your back on your teammates and your organization when you're a Met. It really does.
Well, here's the deal. When the Mets sell their team, which will probably come before the end of the year, there'll be a new general manager. There'll be a new way of doing things, and there'll be a new owner. And, you know, he'll have to change around whatever, you know. I think internally, I think with the team that they have now, I think there's a general – I think the guys like each other, and I do think they like playing for the Met fan. You know, from, you know, Jimenez to Rosario to McNeil and Davis and, of course – Pete Alonso, I think there's a good nucleus of players here. It's just that the pitching staff is now in shambles because of injuries and defections. I mean, they basically have Jacob deGrom and nobody else.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, at this point, it's what they've got. Yeah. So, I mean, this is where I've told you before. it keeps going in this direction, I've got no reason to pay attention.
I know. I understand that.
And
last night I was right there with you because after Juan Soto hit that ball 463 feet,
oh
I said,
God.
I can't watch this anymore. Right. And you know what? This is just going to ruin my night. And I was having a great night up until the start of that game last night.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, first thing that popped in my mind was, so the Mets have guys opting out, key players for them who haven't gotten sick. Here's Juan Soto, who had coronavirus and just hit a ball to the moon. You know, had it, came back, and is now doing that. So that's
right.
There you go, right there.
And you know,
and team that came off a championship last year, by the way. On top
I know,
this.
And I.
What am I doing? What am I doing here? I put on America's or no, the World's Most Wanted on Netflix right after that. I was
nice.
Like, all right, that's it. This is what I'm watching. See ya. Yeah, talk to you later. Catch my attention somehow, some way, another way, because I got other stuff going on. Just like you did, yes, I got my car towed out of my driveway. I ordered two new garage doors. I talked to a roofer. I got stuff going on here. I don't need to see Paul Sewald give up 8 earned runs in a matter of 6 seconds. I don't need to see that. I don't need to. No, thank you. This is me opting out. I have the right to opt out, and I will choose. I will exercise that right.
You're opting out right now, huh? Man, what a disappointment, man. There's got to be something wrong with Mats, right? There has to be.
I mean, he's had these meltdowns before, though, when he's been healthy. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. What's wrong with him is he's not very good, right? And when it takes a lot for him to have a good outing. And then the rest of them are either one or two things. One, he's okay, you know, 5 innings. Four earned runs, something like that keeps you in the game.
He stinks.
And then he has these meltdown situations. He's just all over the place. So, I mean, enough waiting around for him. I was just so embarrassed by the Long Island angle of this yesterday, too, with Stroman and Mats. You had one guy who decided to just leave, and the other guy went out there and just pooped the mound. And then this is what we got. This is what we're talking about this morning. So,
no, we're talking about the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah.
Alexi Lafreniere. Say that. Lafreniere.
Gary Bettman, by the way, going through all the, like, we didn't know what the logos were.
Yes.
That was before this thing happened.
But that's official. That's official. That's what the commissioner
official,
has to do.
Everybody, yeah, but he's just such a stiff. And he's holding up these balls.
No,
and
he wasn't holding up the balls.
Well, the guy's holding up the balls.
The guy
he's
from
saying it.
Ernst & Young was holding
up the
balls. That guy,
you know what I'm
stiff.
Saying. That guy was stiff, too.
Until
he's holding up the balls.
Ranger ball.
And then they have to sit there and they got to identify the logos. Like, we get it.
Yes,
we know what the
logo
is. Anybody who's watching the NHL draft lottery knows what the logo is.
That is the confirmed logo of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yes.
Right.
That is the confirmed logo of the Minnesota Wild. Yes.
I mean, come on.
That is the confirmed logo of the crappy Edmonton Oilers. Yes.
I mean, that is
the logo. Yes, of course.
What casual sports fan just stumbles upon the NHL draft lottery and needs an education on the logos?
Well, you know, I thought it was kind of cool the way they did it, actually.
Stop. And the fact cool that because
team,
you got the number one overall pick.
My team won
You'd be slamming those guys. You'd be calling that guy with the gloves and the ping pong balls the biggest a-hole on earth.
He
you'd
didn't
be
have
slamming,
gloves. Yeah, actually,
you'd be
nicely
slamming
manicured
Bettman.
Hands.
Yeah, manicured hands. Yeah, but yeah, you know what I'm saying. You're happy. You love the whole thing because it ended up working out for your team.
No, I told you when the NHL had their original lottery draft and they thought to have one of the teams qualifying out of the teams that don't qualify for the playoffs come out of that group. I thought that was amazing. And the fact that that ping pong ball came up number one is even more amazing than the Rangers ball coming up number one yesterday. You had to have three things happen for the Rangers or any one of those teams to be able to get the number one pick. One would have to be that the initial NHL lottery draft had to have a placeholder at number one, which is what happened. Two would be you'd have to lose in the qualifying round, which is also what happened. And then three, your ping pong ball would have to pop out first, like it did for the Rangers. So three made an amazing run here has happened for the Rangers in the last 2 years. And I think, and I know you're not a karma guy. I kind of am a karma guy.
God.
And the reason I say that is because we lost one of the great Ranger fans of all time, Stephen McDonald, Officer Stephen McDonald, who was shot in the line of duty and would come to Madison Square Garden with his beautiful family, and he would be in his wheelchair there, and he would just be such an inspiration for all of us. And Jeff Gorton, the last couple of years, has had that badge, his badge next to him in these situations. And damn, if it hasn't happened twice in a row.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, that angle, it's a cool storyline. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I don't know if that's karma or something else. I mean, karma is one of those things where it's a totally different conversation. But that is a cool storyline. There's no doubt about it.
Stephen McDonald and his family for making my day yesterday and last year, by the way, by getting the number two overall pick. Because I told you I wanted Capococco. So
yep,
we got him.
And you got the Kako, and now you got the
Lafreniere.
Very good. Boomer and Geo on the Fan, CBS Sports Network, and radio.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.